You know, you'd almost think reading about Abram's life, if you do an honest reading of the Genesis right around 12 to about 22, you'd actually come to a conclusion that maybe this guy lived a grumpy and kind of disgruntled and upset kind of life. Because Abram went through a bunch of crises in his life. Here's crisis number one. It's in Genesis chapter 12. A good review here this morning. In Genesis chapter 12, the crisis is this. God tells Abram to pick up his things and to go to a land that he had never been to. That land was Ur of the Chaldees, in Genesis chapter 12. That's a crisis, to go somewhere where you didn't even know where you'd been. And God sweetens it, though, by adding a little promise. God says this, I will bless your name, I will make your name great. And so Abram, from Genesis chapter 12, this is crazy. He never had a permanent home his entire life. Never. He was a nomad, went all around his life. Then we come to our passage here in Genesis chapter 15, and this is crisis number two in Abram's life. Abram doesn't have a son. He's advanced in age. He's 75 years old. Sarai, she's 65 years old. And this was a big deal because how are you going to pass on your inheritance? The only person is this man named Eliezer of Damascus. We don't know who he is. And so this is a crisis. And God then gives another promise to Abram. He says, look to the stars, to the sky. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, it says in our text. How did that promise go for Abram? Well, if you read Genesis, it doesn't get fulfilled right away. 10 years passes by. Abram's now 85, Sarah's 75, no child. So they figure out a kind of a different route, a different plan. 14 more years pass by, still no child. Abram's 99. Sarah's 89. Crisis. Then Abram has a third crisis. That's found in Genesis chapter 22. That crisis is when a son actually does come, Isaac. God says, go and sacrifice Isaac. What a troubling kind of life Abram lived. Actually, the promises that were offered to him by God, most of them were not fulfilled in his lifetime. They were just promises. They weren't fulfilled by the time that he died. And the promise that actually was offered, that he would have a son, God actually wanted him to take his life. That's why, let's be honest here, that's why I think for those people who had never seen God, I think there was the opportunity for Abram to grumble about his life circumstances, to be upset about what God had promised, that God had not followed through completely. See, there was the opportunity for Abram to be a not-so-good person, actually, if you really read the text and the story of his life. But he didn't do it that way. Abram represented God in a beautiful way, in a powerful way. People who had never seen him, who had never heard from God, got a beautiful picture of who God was by just seeing Abram. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the Old Testament, or I'm sorry, in the New Testament, hundreds of years after Abram lived his life, would say this about Abram. In Hebrews chapter 11, a great text, he essentially says this, Hebrews 11, verse 13. Although Abram did not have any of the promises fulfilled in his lifetime, it says it right there in the Bible, although he didn't have any of the promises fulfilled in his lifetime, he believed in them and saw them from a distance. Abram staked his life on God's promises. They were like anchors. Do you know what an anchor is? An anchor is really a steady and stern tool that's used by sailors, of course. When the winds kick up and The winds want to take the ship a different direction. When the anchor's down, you see, when the anchor's down, that ship isn't going anywhere. When the currents are churning underneath the waters and going in all sorts of directions, which are very powerful, and if that anchor's down, the ship can't be moved. If the winds kick up and there's a storm and things get difficult, if the anchor is down, how powerful it is for the ship. But you have to know how to use the anchor correctly.